welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try Napa Cellars V-Series Canaro's Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, sir. I am also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
Did Louisville win?
Louisville did win. Whoop, whoop.
That's a good win. On the road.
On the road against team. A higher ranked team.
Yes. Triple B is a minor Louisville fan, but mostly a Kentucky fan.
Anyway.
Particularly Kentucky football.
Definitely bring it, man.
Talk to me.
Just bring it.
She found there's a new promotional photo for Kentucky football. I have to do it.
We have to.
Nobody wants to talk about UK football.
The only thing that's interesting about UK football.
No. Drop it.
Oh, I can't talk about it?
No.
Not on this show. I can later, though. Anyway, folks.
I don't want to be a part of it.
Don't worry. I'll let you know. Anyway, on tonight's show, we have an exciting, exciting show because we have an expensive wine on the show.
What?
A very expensive wine, really, considering what it is. And it is a Pinot Noir, too. It's the only way we can get the Triple B on the show anymore. She has to have Pinot.
That's right.
Pinot or Sauvignon Blanc or Chardonnay or Cabernet or Zinfandel. Anyway, she'll drink anything. Nevertheless, tonight, though, we have a producer that I am skeptical of. Scott is skeptical of. Triple B is skeptical of. Their own mothers are skeptical of them because they are frauds. Possibly.
Frauds.
Possibly. This is the winery Napa Cellars. You go, oh, Rob, you have their, wait a minute, their Napa Cabernet, or their Napa Pinot Noir.
Cabernet.
I stuttered suddenly. This wine kind of does that too. Their Napa Pinot, that's not expensive. It's around $20. Aha.
I know, I made that mistake too in my Google research.
Yes. Well, we wouldn't have such schlock here on the show.
Right.
Their Napa Pinot. Screw that. No. This is their 5 collection. Or V collection, but it is 5. It's Roman numeral 5. Canaro's Pinot Noir. That's right. We have the good stuff. We have the stuff that costs more. Yeah.
I'm crossing my fingers. I know.
This is an actual...
It's a really heavy bottle.
It's an expensive bottle.
I feel how heavy it is.
This wine's retail price is $49.99 of your money. The 17 vintage is now... This is 14. The 15 vintage is $55 of your money. And I spent $19.99. But still.
I have a question about the label.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Can I read it and ask it to you?
You can ask me, yes.
Okay. So the label says, limited production sub-Appalachian wines from the Napa Valley that pay tribute to the original 5 acres upon which Napa Cellars was founded.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a sub-Appalachian?
Well, it's a Canaro's. Is a sub of Napa.
Oh, okay.
But then this is a mix of 2 single vineyards. Their Mueller Vineyard and their Moretti Vineyard. Okay. But when you said limited production, 1,800 cases made of this.
Excellent.
But I found out, first of all, this winery is owned by Trinchero.
Really?
Yes.
Who owns that?
That's an Illuminati. They own, like, Ménage à Trois. They own Sutter Home. Why are you... You have this...
Only
oh,
the best.
You Scott really had a legitimate, face. As if he gets the 4-packs, probably, at night, and just drinks them in his car on the way home from work. What do you get, Merlot or Pinot in the bottles?
Just the individual cans.
Well, they're not cans. They're wine bottles, man.
Okay. I'm getting individual cans.
They're
from
like
TJ's.
Plastic.
It's trashy.
They're plastic bottles. So, do you consider it a bottle?
Yes,
it's
a bottle.
It's more like, it's more like reminiscent of like a 20-ounce Mountain Dew.
It's kind of funny. There's so many wines we've had on the show that probably should be in a plastic bottle. Right. 750 milliliter. Maybe a rubber bottle. A hard rubber bottle. Man.
Do you know what their number one seller is?
No. For that?
No, of their varietals.
Chardonnay?
What would you guess?
Muscat, probably Moscato.
Cab.
Pinot? I don't know. Riesling.
Sutterholm White and Zinfandel.
Oh, well, duh, that's we stupid. Known that. But they sell 20 million cases of that?
That's what.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Where? Someplace where, you know, like the trends are behind the times? Like in your clothes closet.
No. Oh.
But, Ménage à Trois one, Sutterholm one, but they also do Nyers.
Oh my goodness gracious.
You like Nyers?
No, I don't.
Terra de Oro? Yes, you do. Nyers is a good winery. And so there's a few other ones that are legit. It's just that they have Sutterholm and Ménage à Trois. But this wine.
I think I've had Nyers, to be honest with you.
Yes, you have. It's not what I you had it at.
Myers or Nyers?
Nyers with an N. You had it at.
Where did we have that?
We had their Zin. I've had Nyers on many occasions, many different things. And Trubia has had them as well. She said the Merlot, the Zin. You had it at Hudson 29 one time. And you liked it.
By the glass pour?
No, you got a bottle of it.
I got a bottle of Nyers?
You paid for it.
I don't think so.
Yes, you did. Anyway.
I don't think that Zin.
It was Zin. As if you would remember. You can't remember anything.
I can't remember.
And I remember virtually everything.
Well,
it's from drinking too much Sutterholm.
Probably, that's why. Yeah, that's a very astute point. Maybe you'll forget about this wine, though, after we drink it.
Like, in my memory of Nyers Vista Luna, I popped on Hudson 29.
There we go.
I totally don't remember that
that's
wine.
That's because you were
no, I do,
drunk.
Sutterholm makes like a Vistaminer.
Gewürztraminer.
Gewürztraminer.
We each had
a
bottle, didn't we?
Sutterholm makes that.
One at a time.
You bought the bottle first, and I remember your bottle being better.
Well, of course it was.
What did you buy?
I picked the Nyers. That's what I picked.
That's what you...
It's always everything I pick is always going to be better than what
why
you
I
picked.
That's the Nyers, because you bought it.
Right.
I don't remember what I bought that night.
I know what you bought. Stag's Leap Winery, Petite Syrah.
The Petite Syrah.
And you bought it again at wherever it was. Which, it's okay.
It's fine, yeah.
But you think it's the greatest thing.
Well,
and it's...
I wanted it to be better than it was.
You wanted it to be better than
so
it was twice.
I actually remember the Nyers. I just didn't remember it being the Nyers. Because I remembered the bottle you picked that was better.
Do you remember wearing a mask? What did you remember?
I did. It was a Mexican wrestling mask.
It's a Lucha Libre.
The Lucha Libre.
Well,
no, the Vista Luna.
Okay.
Vista Lunar Man.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation.
Well,
so I am going to take a break.
I can't remember.
And punch myself in the face here.
Yay!
On the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. Folks, have you ever sat back and thought how you first heard of the Wine Vault? Well, we need your help reaching more listeners. What you can do is go to iTunes, give us a review, give us 5 stars, give us your thoughts and feedback.
So only with your help, folks, will more people learn about, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. Back, folks. So the 2014 Napa Cellars V Collection, or 5 Collection, or Caneros Pinot Noir. And I mentioned briefly, the price is $49.99. However, currently it was marked down to $19.99. Cheaper than their regular
Where'd
Napa.
Where'd you find it?
Giant Eagle. So we're tasting it tonight to see if it's something I want to buy again. Because, you know, that's a big price cut. So, give you a little more background. This, I believe, is 15 months on French oak.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
It has a review-ish.
A review.
It is highly recommended and got a silver medal.
From the State Fair?
No, they wish. Tastings.com. But Tastings.com gave it an 85, highly recommended at $50. I don't know. I don't know.
Enthusiast rated the 15.
Yes, they did.
Daniel Boone's daughter did.
Yeah. What'd she give it, an 89?
Yeah, 89.
Yeah. I think I saw the 13 get an 87.
Okay.
I think that's where you're at. But they never reviewed the 14. Go figure.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
It's not stellar.
Nobody said it was stolen.
That's kind of where I was headed. If you're spending $50 on a bottle of wine, I would expect it to be in the 90s.
Well, that's the thing. That's why you're not spending $50. You're actually spending $20 because no one will buy it at 50. No one will
buy it at 50 because it's...
No one will pay $50 for Napa fucking Cellars. And they realized it's like making a $85,000 Hyundai. They did that as well. And they didn't sell any of those. No. So, you know, now you can get it used, like we got this used, for $18,000.
I wonder how Kia's going to do it there. Ski resort sounding Telluride.
Oh,
is that that?
That's the one that has the aftermarket snorkel.
I saw that. It's going to be maximum price like $52,000. I like the Stinger myself. I like Stinger a lot. Yeah. But I can like it a lot. I can like it.
Yep.
And then buy it.
You're welcome to like it.
I just need to rob banks to do it. Well, anyway, I'll do it.
Have at it.
Whatever. Maybe I'll Uber. A lot. So.
Have at it.
Yeah. And we're going to make a lot of money here on the Wine Vault, so it's all right.
Hey.
So, tastings. Do we even want to read what tastings wrote?
Just read it.
All right. They said bright brick red color. Aromas and flavors of spiced cherries, dried leaves, red licorice, and star anise. And planked oak with a lively, dry, full-bodied, and interesting breezy finish with woody, earthy, leafy tannins and moderate oak flavor.
Whoa.
A better-than-average quality example.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
What's you didn't a breezy refer
to
finish?
Someone's bottom when you referred to the anise.
Anus?
You did.
Now you ruined it. What's a breezy finish?
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Now.
If it was truly those things... It should get a 98. I mean, that's insane.
Well,
that winery.
James Suckling was busy that day. Now, the winery itself, they said, this Pinot Noir showcases dark cherry and plum aromas with hints of savory soy, mushroom, and spice.
Soy.
With rich, luscious fruit enveloping tannin on the front, this wine makes a smooth transition from bright cherry and blackberry notes to toffee, vanilla, and mocha flavors on the finish. This is an elegant, approachable, and very food-friendly wine.
You know what that means?
Not
eat
much.
Eat something so that you can't taste the wine.
Could be. Well, in the glass, folks, it is dark. It is extracted. It's slightly brickish, but it's more of a cranberry hue. And I think I've said this before. It's not as translucent as some of the Pinots we have. It actually looks like Pinot. Hmm. Maybe a darker version of Pinot, but it looks like Pinot. It's not inky, is what I'm saying.
It's relatively dark for a Pinot, though.
Yeah, but it still has the crimson hue, and that's what we're looking for, hue. On the nose.
And this has been decanting for some time, correct?
An hour?
Hour.
Hour and 10? And, Becky, could you tell me what the alcohol is on that? I think it's 514.5.
There's a little of the Pinot funk on the nose.
I would like for you to guess based off of
somewhat muted.
It's really small.
I'm going to guess 13.5.
I'd say 13.8.
14.5.
I did say 14. Ooh. I thought I saw 14.5 on there. Well, we have had some Pinots that are. And so you know, Canaros is known more for a Burgundian style, if Calis can be Burgundian. So they tend to be lighter in weight. Cherubi seems to be terrified. She just took a sip. She wasn't actually sniffing it.
I cheated. I'll smell it again.
Yeah, it's kind of muted, isn't it? There's a little bit of menthol and
there's menthol, a Pinot funk. I'm getting a little bit of Barnyard back there too, just a little bit.
Yeah, as soon as you tip in, yeah.
Is menthol a common smell in Pinots?
Well, alcohol. It's
just methylated alcohol.
Yeah.
Maybe but it's not vanilla.
It's not. It's related to the alcohol.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was related to a cigar box.
No. I don't mind the nose. It is muted, but you can pull some things out of there. There's probably a little cherry in that nose.
That is a tasty Pinot Noir. I don't know if I'd pay $50 for it, but it's, ooh. Mmm. Savory mid palate that just kind of expands.
Oh. It's kind of condensed in that the front palate's soft and subtle, mm-hmm. and then that mid palate, I wouldn't say explodes, but it kind of, one of your phrases, well, it crescendos, but it's kind of compact. No.
It's
compact.
It expands. It doesn't get where it needs to get really quickly. It kind of slowly builds, surges a little bit. Mm.
But it's kind of compact.
Well, the wine, it has a compactness to it, but it's all where it's supposed to be. It's Cali. Once again, somewhat Cali in its qualities, but it's very dry. Mm, that's a very lovely finish. I like the way it finishes. Little raspberry, just a little bit of funk, and just a little bit of plush tannin.
I'll describe the tannins as round.
Absolutely.
They're very gentle, silky, plush is a great word to use that. Mm-hmm. They're nice tannins for a Pinot.
Overall, the mouth feels very lovely. It has a very ripe, inviting, soft mouthfeel that then lets loose into the tannin.
Somebody's given us the side eye.
Yeah, I don't love it.
That's fine by me. I'll buy it and drink the shit out of it.
Yeah, I love it. So,
and yes, I would buy it again in 1999.
Would you buy it at 50?
Ooh.
You need to have a name for me to buy you at 50.
For Pina.
Yeah, the name Mary Edwards, because then I know you're normally 80. Then I'll buy you 50. Mm. But I can't buy Napa Cellars at 50. That's just silly.
Yeah. One thing that I do like about this is the mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. It almost is like... the only thing I can compare it to is like a caramel.
It does have a caramel mouthfeel. And it has
like a toffee-ish caramel.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. that. That's what I mean. That's the only thing that I can think of to compare it to. The mouthfeel is probably my favorite part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And with good reason. It's a wonderful mouthfeel.
It's got one of the better mouthfeels we've had in a Pinot.
Yeah.
It's full body.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
It's a full body Pinot. The mouthfeel is just dynamite. I think that you could sit this down for a couple years.
Yeah.
But I don't think you want that to lean out too much, because that luscious, that mouthfeel is what you really are into.
Yeah, and it's kind of a sneaky full body.
But the tannin on the end, though, they are a bit grippy, and they could...
It suggests it's got some time.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I'm thinking, but I mean, it's very, very good. And you have to acknowledge that I didn't pay $50 for this. I paid $19.99. And you can get it for $19.99 right now.
I'm so relieved, because when I Googled it, it said right now the average price is $45. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, did Rob overpay?
Well, I mean, that is what it costs. Let's be honest. It doesn't cost $20. You were able to get it locally, $20. Mm-hmm. Not going to be a continued price.
No. And that's the thing. And you have to judge it in its price range. But the fact is, they can't move it at that. I'm surprised that they're continuing with the line. I mean, I understand why they want the line there. But you're not going to sell it at $50. And people won't buy Napa Cellars.
How long did you say this was aged in oak?
15 months.
I can't hardly get an oak flavor out of it. Are you all?
It's, a little bit.
It's just... lightly framed by it.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe at the end it's like almost like the char kind of at the end.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's so subtle. It's very subtle.
Well, I mean, that's the thing though. The wine, it's so big that it can accept it. And we're not talking about some burnt ass American oak. We're talking about French.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's old French oak too.
Yeah, that surprises me, because I normally can spot oak a mile away.
It's actually very good winemaking. But Canarios, I mean, it's really good grapes, too. So, I mean, it's not hard to, you know, do that right. And Canarios, we've never had anything from there on the show. It's right between Napa and Sonoma. It is part of Napa, but it's right there. Southern Sonoma, think of that. I mean, some of the stuff we've had from Sonoma Coast and whatnot.
Okay.
This is similar to that in that regard, although this is a slightly more highly regarded area. I think Russian River Valley, I think, is probably, although that's cooler than this. I don't know. This is pretty decent. Clay soils, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not getting a hit on wine.com for the V series.
I found it. But there's no reviews or anything of that nature. And it's just the winemaker's notes.
It's V, actually. V Napa Cellars.
And that stands for the original 5 acres that they founded the winery on back in, I think, like 1968. That's what the V stands for. I guess all that, well, I just know things.
Wait, what'd you say?
The V stands for the first 5 acres they had.
That was on the back of the label.
Oh, yeah, you read that.
Yeah.
That's how I knew it. It's just strange how these things come to me. Just a genius.
Mm-hmm.
What? Nah, never mind. I don't want
to. I do like the character of this wine. I wouldn't call it quite classy, but it exhibits character.
It's classy.
It's
classier than you.
What? That doesn't take much. Well, that's the pot calling the kettle black,
that's like
by the
saying
way.
Streetwalker. Okay, never mind. Well, go ahead.
It's kind of a little more of a blue collar feel to it from a Pinot. I don't think it's this big burly thing, but I think this is a compact kind of working man's Pinot.
Oh yeah, working.
That's my
Pinot.
I'm calling it the working man's
Something
Pinot.
That I'm trying to flush out of my
Jesus
head.
Jesus Christ!
And
you don't like
the
that?
Working man at the art gallery's Pinot.
Hey, he works hard.
But it's in a hard day's work curating.
Listen, when you're sweeping the floor, you're sweeping the floor.
Douche.
So doesn't matter whether it's at the art
the
gallery.
The working man's Pinot. I think Mark West is the working man's Pinot.
So. I think Mark West is.
Mm-hmm. Let me talk to somebody far more intelligent. What were you going to say, Becky?
Well, I was just going to say there is some element of this. We talked about it before in a wine, and now I can't remember which one it was, but it almost has a cough syrup flavor to it. But in a positive way.
Like a working man would like.
Mm-hmm. Like a working man would like.
Like a working man's cough man.
He's got
cough
a
syrup.
Cold. He's working through it.
No. But there's some element of that in this, and I can't flesh out in my mind what it is. I don't know what it is. But I think it might be maybe the cherry, and there might be I don't know. A hint of cherry sweetness in there. I don't know what it is, but there's something in there that reminds me of something.
It's a cherry on the front palate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
And it that sounds awful like it's...
No, it does. But there's a hint of cherry that's akin to cherry cough syrup, which...
Yeah. Cherry cordial. We'll call it cherry cordial.
Okay. But I don't think it's quite as sweet as that.
Yeah, but it sounds better than cough syrup.
It does, but it's not a bad...
It's not medicinal, though.
It's syrupy or a medicinal character to it, but there's a certain cherry flavor that you get with Robitussin.
Yeah.
How much do you drink of
Robitussin? I know.
I think you had a couple bottles on your way over here. It's not Sutter Home you're drinking. You're drinking fucking cough syrup.
Mama, I broke my leg. Well, pour some Robitussin on it, fool.
That purple drink?
Yeah, well, Scott doesn't cut it with anything. He just drinks it out straight. Oh, yeah.
It's delicious.
Fucking fiend. Anyway.
That's why I like it as a working man's Pinot.
Now that I've
Robitussin is a working man's Pinot.
Robitussin.
Now that I've had half a glass, I can taste the oak more in a nice way, not in a negative.
Well, the Prince of Pinot, he says it should just be, what does he say?
Peppered in like a spice.
Oh, okay. That's what he says.
That rolled off tip of your tongue.
You notice how I said his name without giggling?
I know.
You giggled on the inside. You're giggling now.
It's just fun making fun of him. Anyway, as a matter of fact, I just have the Pinots on so we can bring up the Prince of Pinot. It is strange, though, and I said this on another show, I think it was Mark West, that seeing how old he is, he hasn't ascended to being the king of Pinot. Like, Grifone is the king of Chianti. I mean, you'd think that he could become the king. Well, maybe he's like Prince Charles, where he'll never really... Yeah. Although she croaks, well, nevertheless. Oh, well, things you think about. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. Hey, we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we're going to go around the room. I'm going to ask a simple question of everybody. Okay. We're in 2019 right now. Early. But in this calendar year, folks, what is the worst wine you have drank thus far?
The worst wine?
The worst wine. Not on the show, probably. Well, no, we'll just do on the show, whatever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The worst wine I've had would definitely have been on the show.
Well, normally, it makes sense. Cat bottle Rieslings are
did
not
we have allowed. That this God. Year?
Yes, we yes. Did. That oh doesn't count.
God, that was awful.
And wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I know one. The Zach Brown Band.
Oh,
Uncaged Pinot.
I like block them out. I mean, that until then, I couldn't think of anything.
This one's hard to block out. The Zach Brown Band Pinot.
What was it called? The Alexander?
Yes, The Alexander Uncaged. Yeah. I wrote a review about that. If you saw what we're drinking now, I think volume one, I wrote about the Uncaged, and I made a mention of, and that, I'm sure we'll release that episode eventually. We just said a bunch of bad things, but not unusual. But I said that the wine should seem like it's made by a normal person and not a circus clown. And I said, I don't think this wine meets that standard. And I do actually believe that. But I called it a Mayomi copycat, which it is.
It is.
Something else that I could barely even get into the 70s.
Wow. What was that?
I feel like we had two wines that were both really bad. And I was just giving it a random score in the 70s because they were so bad I couldn't score them.
Well, the ball's probably over there in this. Stack somewhere. Damn, I can't remember.
I
you have a
wanting to use those Venom Syrah / Petite Syrah glasses.
Yes.
I just arbitrarily picked up a bottle of Dark Horse Petite Syrah.
What the fuck did you do that
for? It was the most
Scott,
nondescript.
How do you arbitrarily pick that up? You know that it has it on the label. Where were you at?
Giant Eagle.
What shit, man? They have a whole damn shelf of Pinot or Petite Syrahs and Syrahs.
And I bought three bottles already.
So?
And I just said, oh, there's a Petite Syrah. I wonder how bad that can be.
No,
well, I found out. It was...
Why wouldn't you...
And it was not really necessarily flawed. There weren't these horrible tastes. It was just so meh.
Why wouldn't you buy, like, Bogle?
I don't know that they had a Petite Syrah there.
Oh, they have that everywhere. Did you feel like, had you done something absurd that you needed to be punished?
I needed to be punished. Plainly, I needed to be punished.
Jesus Christ. I mean, if you wait around long enough, Deb will poison you or kill you or some fashion
well,
that'll punish you.
I,
don't do her work for her. What the hell?
Well,
and you brought an iron. There's an Iron Horse in the wine vault in the queue. That's a show one wine. I'll tell you that right now. That's right. I'll sneak that up on you. Yeah. Tonight there's Pinot. No, there isn't. There's this. I don't even know what the hell that stuff is. I looked at it tonight. I went no. How do I ever? We're gonna probably do because we have what the hell's the shitty Aussie cab? Yellowtail. Yellowtail Reserve Cabernet.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually excited for that, to do that. Are we going to do Reserve and then regular?
Regular
and Reserve. I've got to get a bottle of regular.
The Yellowtail commercial on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I saw that. Was it for the Reserve?
I am interested in that.
Well, that's what we're going to do. Soon.
What if the Reserve is worse than the regular?
That's like saying syphilis is worse than chlamydia. I'm pretty sure they both suck a lot.
I was gonna go a little more like a blackhead's worse than a regular redheaded pimple.
Redheaded pimple.
You know, just a red pimple that you just pop. Versus a blackhead.
I thought mine was more disgusting, but then you talked, and that's nasty.
Princess has been watching The Pimple Popper.
Why don't you stop?
I have.
Have you watched it?
No, it's disgusting.
It's way disgusting.
That's gross.
So, it's way disgusting.
I have had a couple of people talk to me about wine, and they've said they'll be trying to think of a wine. They'll be naming wines that they like. This happened to me at work. I told you this story. And they were going, what's that Australian wine? And they were like kind of snapping their fingers. And I was like, are they talking about 19 Crimes? Because I feel like that's like a trendy thing. No, but they were talking about Yellowtail. And that's how they classified it. If I was trying to get someone to guess Yellowtail, I would say like you can find it at a gas station. It's not Sutter Home.
You should fuck with them next time. And when they're trying to do that, name really good Aussie wines. Like, is it Penfolds St. Henri? Is it Vass Felix? No. Is it Coonawarra? Is it Wynn's Coonawarra Cabernet? No.
I mean, really, if we were playing like, the $10,000 pyramid, and you were trying to get me to guess Yellowtail, don't ever say Australian wine. I'll never get it.
Is it Elderton's Command Barossa Shiraz? No. Is it from Clarendon Hills?
Nope.
No, it's not. Is it their Hill of Grace? Well, no, it's not. No, okay.
Does it have over $10 million or 10 million case production?
Ugh. Is it Astralis? No? Damn it. I'm drawing a blank.
Can you imagine what the factory is like where they make it?
That's a winery.
Yellowtail.
Don't be disparaging.
Yellowtail's probably made in a factory.
Somebody's crushing the press daily. By choice.
For sure made in a factory.
Yeah, that's true.
It's probably, Yellowtail's made during the day, t-shirts at night.
I don't think so. Yellowtail's made in the day.
The t-shirts that...
Toilet bowl cleaner's made at night.
When you're in Orlando at the bad t-shirt shop, you know, that has the crease in the Mickey Mouse because it didn't quite get it right.
I thought we were going to go even darker with a Yellowtail during the day, like crack made at night.
Well,
Yellowtail made it the day. Astroglide made it night, possibly.
There's a reason.
That's lube for sex. Yeah, just to let you know.
Thanks for sharing.
Somebody that might not have known. I'm sure we probably... What's Astroglide?
Let's go back.
Sex? What's that?
Let's go back and score this wine.
Oh, we will. When we come back, here on the Wine Vault. Going to give a review to the 2014 Napa Cellars V5 collection, Canaro's Pinot Noir. We're going to go around the room. We're going to start off with the Triple B, who gave me a nice eye roll.
So what did some of our colleagues give this wine?
Did this specific vintage. We'd not found
a review.
And then the 15.
Well, tastings.com.
Tastings.com.
Which is the Beverage Institute.
Uh-oh.
What do they do? I'm not sure. They gave Yoohoo a 74. There's that. You know. I'm submitting my strawberry milk mixture to them next week.
Red Bull Blueberry Acai.
William is very high on my strawberry milk. So... I'm thinking it's going to do quite well. Bunch of fucking assholes. We have an institute. You have shit. You have a website. Yeah. Oh, my God. Go ahead. It's like saying Wine Vault International. Oh, what the fuck does that mean? Yeah. Although there is something in that name. Nevertheless, but they are really international. They're out of Hong Kong, I believe. Although maybe they're just out of Hong Kong. That's not international.
Right.
They're not here. Yeah. I just talked to them, though, so that would make them... Damn them. Anyway, Triple B, what's your review?
I'm kind of in a range, so I'm just going to go in the middle. I'm going to give it an 87.
What? Hey, okay.
I'm going to give it an 87. It has varietal character. I like the mouthfeel. I'm kind of debating between 87 and 88. But anyways, I like it. The oak is very nice, which is not something I can normally say.
Yeah, I was going to say you don't say that very often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go higher? Go 88?
She wants an 87. It's 87.
Okay, I'm at an 87, 88. I'll say 88. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
That's integrity right there. No, that's a good score.
Stop.
Give me $5 and I'll...
Okay.
Or give me $50 to buy another bottle.
I can't go 88. I'm going 87. I like this perfectly well. I think it is quite nice. I do like the oaking on it. It's not spectacular. Like I said,
there's something.
It's just, and what I meant by saying the working class Pinot, it's not this elegant, it's not this long Pinot. It has a nice mouthfeel. It really does. It's a little short and compact for me. You definitely, if you work this, you can get more out of it, but you really have to quaff the air on it.
Well, I wonder if a little bit of aging will open that up and expand that out.
And if, you know, and you'd mentioned you didn't think that leaning it out, you know, it'd lose some of its full-bodied characteristics, but maybe some of the subtleties would come out better.
The tannin would lengthen and soften a little bit, because although we said, oh, they're very round, they're very grippy.
Yeah,
and the only thing that's going to solve that would be time.
Yeah, I would say that's almost a criticism I have of the wine.
But that's actually a feather in its cap because it has ageability.
Okay, it has ageability, but for what we're drinking it right now, I wish that that was just... It's a little bit heavy to me, and I wish it was a little bit lighter being a Pinot.
Well, you know, everything being equal.
We scored it based on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's yes, you paid $20 for it, but it's a $50 bottle of wine that it doesn't knock my socks off.
Yeah.
It doesn't blow my hair back. Yeah. I like it. I appreciate it. And if you like it more than we do, that's fine. You know, should it get more than that for potential ageability? I'm not sure. Maybe.
Well, I'm giving it a 95. No, I'm not.
Okay, James.
I am going to give it an 80.
He wants to go 89.
I do.
I know, but he's afraid to be 2 points above us.
Because it is a little compact, but I like the ageability of it. However,
Daniel Boone,
your Chalk Hills, which are actually...
The great-granddaughter named Virginia, and she scored at 89, so Rob once scored an N2.
Nobody knows what you fucking do. But there's been a lot that we've had on the show that are 1999 that are expansive and expressive. And this is good, and I would buy it again at 1999. However,
yeah,
those are also really good, but they're always 1999. But they might be a little bit better.
Yeah, Chalk Hill,
some of the Rodney Strong offerings we've had.
Yeah,
I mean, how much better than they? Well, they're a little more complex. This has a better mouthfeel, and this is bigger. But does that weight necessarily equate to better? Like the Triple B said, it is a little bit weighty on the palate, and you would like to have it a little bit lighter, but if it was a little bit lighter, it might have a little bit more complexity to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an 88 as well, but I am like, she's torn between an 88 and 87. I'm torn between an 88 and 89.
Okay.
It's recommended at 1999, definitely.
But
I wouldn't.
But at full price?
No way.
No, not at full price. $19.99.
If you can find it at $19.99, buy this.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great one, $19.99. Especially if you set it back and age it for a couple years.
I would even recommend it at that.
Yeah. But that's what we bought it at, and I'm sure it probably might be nationwide at that price, too.
It's possible, but, you know, we've had some things that we liked better than this, but that doesn't mean that this wine can't stand alone and hold up beside those other things. I just personally would prefer to have Chalk Hill again before this.
Well, sure.
But would I buy this at the same price point? Yes.
Yes, I would. I would buy this.
And it's not so much...
It's a good wine.
It's a Chalk Hill.
They prefer you pronounce their name correctly.
Is, you know, yards and miles ahead of this. It's just different. I think it has more characteristics. I think they're easier to pick out. And this just isn't quite ready. So, as you said, you put this back 2 years. Maybe this is better than the Chalk Hill.
It might be. It very well could be.
It very well
could. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to put the caveat on all of our scores. The fact that it is a younger wine. And if I was going to bracket, I would say 88 to 90. I think you would say, what, 87 to 89? Or 86 to 88?
Yeah, right now I'd go 86 to 88.
Yeah, that's my bracket, too.
I'm just not sure where this would go.
Well, I would go 88, 90, and I think at the end of the day it's going to be closer to 89 to 90.
Yeah.
Once it's open up a little bit, yeah, I do think so.
Okay.
I think it's one of the hardest things for us to do, to take a wine that we're tasting now and predicting what it's going to be based on a couple years of aging.
And if I bought this bottle at $50, first of all, I would be questioning why I would be buying Napa Cellars. But if I did, and you tasted it, you wouldn't hate your life. Because, I mean, I don't know why you would buy... I don't know why, because this wine does not have... the provenance to charge $50. But if you did spend $50 on it, I don't know why. Maybe it was dark in the store. And you tasted it, you wouldn't be angry.
No.
I think that's a compliment to this.
For sure.
I think they have it way overpriced. I don't think this series should be in the 50s. I think 35. If they sold this wine at 35, they would actually do better.
Maybe.
Well, I think it's a little more reasonable price range for it, don't you?
I think this is a...
You post it off in the mid-20s?
If you can get this at a reasonable price in a glass pour at a restaurant, I think you'll enjoy this wine immensely. But I just... If I was going to spend $50, $60 on a Pinot, I think I'd rather go to like a single vineyard...
Oh, hell yeah. Something from Willamette.
Willamette. That was exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, no. I mean... I'm just saying, if it were very dark in the store in nighttime, and you were a burglar, perhaps, maybe peeping Tom, I don't know.
A cat burglar?
Maybe if you were blind.
And you didn't want a cat Bernay.
You didn't want a cat Bernay. And you couldn't see anything. Or, say, somebody maced, Scott, you would understand this. Say a woman sprayed pepper spray in your eyes.
In my face.
Right before you went in. And you couldn't see what you were drinking or buying.
Well.
You'd be all right if you accidentally bought this. Right?
I would be okay.
Except for the pepper spray.
As long as you paid for it.
It's like Tuesday.
No, I kind of like the pepper spray.
Mm-hmm. So, it's recommended if you find it at a reasonable price. But I would think that $55, which is the new vintage, it's a little bit of a silly...
It's a silly price.
Well, that's why they're selling it in 1989. They're supposedly selling it for a profit in 1989, right?
It's like the radio commercial. Hey, we've just raised our prices 70% to get ready for our 70% mattress sale.
Really? You're 50 bucks?
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw Ferrari Carano's Anderson Valley Pinot for $29.99.
That can't be the regular price.
Well, that's what they're selling it for. So if that comes in, Anderson Valley, in my opinion, I put it a little bit higher than Carneros, but...
I mean, this is our first sampling of it, so... Mm-hmm.
But I like this wine. It's just... I think that...
It's quite enjoyable.
I think that...
We're filling glasses.
But you gotta have provenance at $50. You just have to. You have to have a name. And they don't have... Remember when you said, hey, Rob, should I get Napa Cellars Cabernet? Why the fuck should you do that?
Why would you do that?
They have a St. Helena Cabernet in the V series. Or V collection.
I think that might have been what I was looking at.
Well, it did quite poorly in the reviews. I think it got like an 84. So, I mean, guys, you got to stop with this and really price things at a reasonable price. Otherwise, you're going to be losing your ass.
Yeah. Well,
so
again, you know, we like this at the price that we paid, but if one enthusiast quoted it at $55 for the 2015.
Go fuck you. Well, it's
a not go fuck yourself.
It's the $80,000 Hyundai.
Yeah, exactly.
It's well, you know what it is? It's the $90,000 Volkswagen Fade. Remember that? You probably don't. They had a $90,000 Volkswagen. Jesus. It had a Volkswagen label. It had a Volkswagen frickin' badge on it. They don't pay that. Supposedly a wonderful car. Nobody bought it. I actually, it had a W12 in it. Same variant of the Bentley W12.
Oh.
Yeah, and I saw a woman driving it. She was at Kroger, and she was going to put E85 in it. I was like,
oh my God. What?
You're going to have a bad day, my friend. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.